12th, 2026, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today in the program, we're in the book of Matthew. We're in chapter 26, looking at verses 14 through 35, with a message titled, The Lord is Your Keeper.
But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter answered him, Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away. Jesus said to him, Truly I tell you, this very night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Peter said to him, Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you. And all the disciples said the same.
And now here's today's message from Pastor Chris.
I invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, as we continue our study in this book, today we come to verses 17 through 35, page 989, Matthew 26. Let's give our attention to the holy word of the Lord, beginning at verse 17. Now on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, Where will you have us prepare for you to eat the Passover? He said, Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, The teacher says, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12. And as they were eating, he said, Truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. And they were very sorrowful and began to say to him one after another, Is it I, Lord? He answered, He who dipped his hand in the dish with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born. Judas, who would betray him, answered, Is it I, Rabbi? He said to him, You have said so. Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, You will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter answered him, Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away. Jesus said to him, Truly I tell you, this very night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Peter said to him, Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you. And all the disciples said the same. May the Lord bless the hearing of his word. Well, beloved in the Lord, I am sure that the great confusion for you of the Christian life, it's been so for me, so I trust that you have the same sort of experience, is that the confusion of the Christian life is just how weak we often find ourselves to be in upholding ourselves through this very difficult life. You just feel constantly like it doesn't get easier, does it? It's a paradoxical sort of experience for us in this life. One would think that being Christians, we would have greater strength to walk this and greater progress and greater ability to sustain ourselves from all the difficulties of the sinful nature. Well, if you know the struggle and you understand this struggle, then and you are often perplexed about sin, about weakness, about your abilities, and you are discouraged at times about this, I have a really great message to give to you this morning. Christ gives despairing disciples here, his despairing disciples, an answer in all the midst of the uncertainty and discouragement and weakness in their lives. But it's probably not what you think is the solution that he's going to give that is the solution you've often looked to. We've struggled with the solution that he gives. Haven't always been as confident in the solution that he gives. He does surprising things, and his ways are not our ways. So you have to listen carefully to Jesus, and you have to listen to him about what the solutions are to that struggle. What we have is one of the most distressing moments in the life of the disciples in their walk with Christ. Now, many of you have walked with Christ for many years. What do you think would be the most distressing moment? Apply it. But this is a deeply distressing moment, for Jesus is going now to the cross and he's going to die. And they yet have not understood all this. They have not yet grasped this. They indeed are slow of understanding, Luke 24. And all of this was set off purposely by a statement that Jesus makes here in this section, that Jesus himself, in a sense, ignites the moment of distress by saying, "One of you will betray me." That is a moment of deep despair for them. Before we look at that in some detail, I want you to remember the scene that is in front of us. In verses 6 through 13, something had been set up front for them already as a memorial that had a very important message for them in now the events that transpire immediately. And remember, it was this woman, it was Mary, who came and poured this alabaster flask of very costly perfume or ointment on his head. And we know from comparing the Gospels that it was Judas himself who had stirred up the disciples, who were all indignant, saying, "What a waste this is. What a waste this is. This could have been given and sold to the poor and given to the poor." And at that, Jesus rebuked them, and he makes a powerful statement here. Aware of this, he said to them, "Why do you trouble the woman? What she has done a beautiful thing for me. For you always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me. In pouring this ointment on my body," think about what she was doing, "she has done this to prepare me for burial. Truly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." Nobody in the Bible, I think, gets this kind of commendation from our Lord. She's a constant memorial wherever the gospel's preached. This had such significance. This had such importance. Her giving was, remember, extravagant. It was lavish. It was misunderstood. It was confusing to them as she pours out, a poor peasant woman, everything she has on Jesus to anoint his body for burial. And Jesus makes her a memorial. Why? Because she is actually providing a visual lesson and a demonstration of Jesus himself. He's pouring out everything. He's pouring out his blood for them. He's shedding it. What's the value on that? Can't put a value on that. It's an indescribable gift, as Peter will call it later. She captured for us, remember what I just said, so important, everything of value. It's a misunderstood act, a lavish act, a giving of everything, extravagant, because she understood what was being given to her. This was Jesus' gift. Jesus is the gift. He is being offered up. Now, that's placed right up front of this whole narrative that begins this whole stream now, this whole series of narratives all the way to the cross. And what happens right after this then is, in radical contrast, then one of the 12, whose name was Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What will you give me if I deliver him over to you. And they paid him 30 pieces of silver. What a cheap response. Motivated by greed and a faithless heart, wanting to gain the world, hating the righteousness of God, he accepts 30 pieces of silver, the Old Testament price of a slave. Judas has snapped. Judas has snapped. And he snapped over the faith of this woman. This is not what I signed up for. Giving away all of everything we have to him, he's not accomplishing anything. Death doesn't accomplish anything. Death doesn't accomplish victory. Death doesn't overcome the Romans, so he thinks. Riding on the coattails of this great star in Israel, he can no longer take it when he sees this. Well, that's what makes now what happened so important for the life of the disciples and for us. The betrayal of Judas is completely distressing. This is one of their intimate group. And now matters seem to get worse. In verse 20, evening has come, and he sits down with the 12. And as they are eating, he now makes the great statement that ignites things all, makes it all the worse. One of you will betray me. Now, verse 22 is one of the most moving verses here in this scene because we read that they were exceedingly sorrowful. They are deeply grieved. Each of them begins to say, Lord, is it I? Lord, literally, I'm not the one, am I? And we hear this really deep, introspective searching that begins to go on, expressing themselves in that question. Each one of them questioning, so important, their loyalty to Jesus. Each one of them is questioning their loyalty to Jesus. There's love for him. They believed in him. But there's something to note here. It's the way the disciples ask, Lord, I'm not the one, am I? It's an important moment. It's a kind of test for the disciples at this point. And I think it sort of does beg the question, what are we capable of? What are you and I capable of? On the part of the disciples, they seem aware of what they're capable of. Well, maybe not Peter. Could they betray him? And this is a really, I think, important moment in the Gospels when it comes to the issue of assurance. A recognition of human sin and human weakness. There's a reason I read the Heidelberg to begin this. We don't stand on our own even for a moment. But not just on the part of Judas. It's on the part of the genuine question of the disciples. They are deeply concerned about this. We live with this question. We live with this fear. We live with this question of perseverance and endurance to the end. You know, could it be that I'll get to the last day and find out that I was a total hypocrite and a sham? All of it seems tested at this moment. The real experience that we all have in this life of this kind of question because of sin. And to raise this at the moment of the greatest distressing moment of the disciples in their entire walk with Christ seems shocking, doesn't it? Isn't it just the reality that at our moments of greatest weakness in life, the question of our own commitments to Christ is often challenged? Now, you know that those come in a variety of different ways and circumstances. It's as has been correctly said, if it's great for you today, get ready because tomorrow may not be. And then what? It's at the moments of this kind of thing that that question of the commitment to Christ is tested. And to raise it at this moment is a fascinating thing that Jesus does. It's the question of commitment and loyalty that is really front and center here. Why would Christ, this is the question I had as I'm working through this, why would Christ show us this woman and show them this woman whose action, now, what did you, when I preached that last week, what did you feel about that action of that woman? It felt radical. And it felt so beyond what we often give to him that we hardly connect with it. That doesn't seem like our experience very much. And then to show us, in contrast, the opposite extreme, which is Judas, who is going out to betray him. And then today, to come upon the failure of the disciples. All of them. You might ask, what is the difference between them and Judas? And why this woman? Jesus seems to make matters worse. After they all ask, Lord, is it I? He says, he who dipped his hand with me in the dish will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for him never to have been born. It's got to be one of the worst things said in Scripture. Better for someone never to have been born. Then Judas answers, speaks up. Rabbi, is it I? Is it I? Notice Matthew wants to make very clear he's radically offset here. And what it tells us is that Judas already knew he was the betrayer. He didn't care about Jesus. He didn't care about him at all. He had no faith. He was following Jesus for all the wrong reasons. None of it had ever been genuine. None of it had ever been real. And you see, here I think we start to get to the heart of things. The disciples question, Lord, I'm not the one, am I? Judas says, surely not I, Rabbi. I think you can kind of hear the heart. I think you can get to that. Maybe the sense of it is this. It's not I. Is it, Rabbi? He won't say, Lord. How much you make of that, I don't know. But I do know he's offset in his response. And I think here Matthew's really capturing the weakness of the disciples at this moment. Will I be the one? Lord, how do you know that you're not going to be one in the course of life that will turn your back on him? I'm not the one, am I? Jesus says this, the Son of Man goes as it is written of him, woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better if that man, if he had not been born, but I want you to notice verse 25. Judas, who would betray him, answered, is it I, Rabbi? He said to him, you have said so. What a moment. Judas, at this point, we know from the Gospels, leaves. Jesus has now identified Judas. But here, I think Jesus is very fascinating in the way in what he does and the way he handles this distressing moment. He knows his sheep. He knows their fears. He knows that in the midst of their weakness, that they will hear his voice, that they will follow him. And in the midst of the disciples' cry of despair, I'm not the one, am I, the Lord? I'm not the one, am I, to betray you? Before he gives any comfort, I want to make matters worse, I think, So you see how weak they really are. If you look down at verse 30, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out on the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I'm raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter answered him, "Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away." Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Peter said to him, "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you." And notice the little inclusion, all of them said it. Now this is distressing. This is as distressing a moment as you get. One of you will betray me. Is it me? Betrayal, of course, is an interesting word in this concept, an interesting action. It actually means to deliver over. It means to hand him over. It was the act of Judas to take Jesus and hand him over to be murdered. That's betrayal. It's the ultimate act here of despising and disregarding someone so as to say, "I want this figure eliminated from my life. Gone." Motivated by hate and rejection of him. And then, after all this, Jesus looks at all of them and says, "And all of you will," now think of the word, "deny me. All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. Peter, you will deny three times." Well, these aren't little things. Stumble means fall away. Deny means to deny any connection with Christ. Clearly, this is offset from betrayal. One despises, the other is a form of being unable to perform what one desires under the intense pressure. So in other words, this is the Christian life in many ways, what's captured here. And I say this in light of what I said with the reading of the law. You don't have the power for one second to keep your commitment to Jesus. That's your confusion. That's our struggle. True Christians cannot betray him. But true believers are certainly so weak that they cannot hold on to him. Do you understand that? This captures everything of what I will to do that I do not find the power to accomplish. If the authorities came tonight, let's just say persecution got so bad here in America that the authorities came tonight and said to you that if you deny Christ...
That's all the time we have for you today. We thank you for tuning in to us here on Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Be sure to tune in next time for part 2 of this message from Pastor Chris. Until then, God bless.